This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's blessings to you from the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
How would you like your family to remember your last words? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, another Lord's Day has come around. People are assembled in their places of worship, or are listening to us over radio or television. We pray that that word that we shall expound will be so meaningful to our lives that it really will bear fruit therein. We thank you, O God, that you have given to us the Scriptures, those upon which we can meditate, and we thank you for the opportunity to live in a land where we may join together and give praise to thee for all things. In his name we pray, amen.
God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. From thy nations and churches, story, bring her by to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, by the facing of this hour.
Friends in Christ. Sitting in a Roman prison, perhaps on death row, St. Paul had plenty of time to think. He was writing a letter to a favorite congregation in Philippi. And in the midst of that letter, he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In other words, whether I'm alive or I'm dead, I am with the Lord. Now, you might think this was written by some super saint. Well, it was, but it was also written by a man who referred to himself as the worst of sinners. He had done a lot of terrible things in his life. For example, being a zealous young man, and we'll refer to that in a minute again, he had a part in stoning a person by the name of Stephen. Stephen also was a young man. Probably he was about the same age as Paul. And Stephen was a man who had been converted. He knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and so he went about preaching. So when they brought him in for trial, Stephen told them the whole story of Jesus. You can read it in the book of Acts. What Christ had done for the sins of the world, how he had suffered and paid the price, that all who would confess their sins and trust him would live with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. But this angered the people, and they were going to stone him to death. Paul was among those who were stoning him. Oh, he didn't throw a stone. He was too clever for that. But he said to those who threw the stones, you take off your coats and place them at my feet, and I'll protect them, and that way you'll have the freedom to throw the stone even harder and soon bring him to death. That was a man who one day wrote to the Philippian church, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, how do those things all work together? Well, hold on, and I think we'll see how the Holy Spirit goes to work. In one sense of the word, Saul was a very privileged young man. He was born into a prominent family. Both father and mother were Jews. The father was very influential. He was a Pharisee. Paul was born in Tarsus. He was a Roman citizen, and more than once that gave him a lot of favors. He had a good education. There are those who say that when he was a little boy, his parents sent him to Jerusalem to what we would today call a boarding school, that there he could be given the elementary facts of the Jewish religion, the laws. But as he grew older, he came back to Tarsus, and there he studied under perhaps the greatest theologian of the day by the name of Gamaliel. So he was very well trained. He was destined to become a future leader in the Jewish religion, and they already had him going, for he was helping to persecute the church wherever they were. Paul was not only educated, but he was zealous for his religious convictions. But then something happened. He was on his way to Damascus. He was going up there to gather a group of Christian people and bring them back to Jerusalem, where they would be persecuted and perhaps killed. But on the way, God intervened. What did he do? A bright light shone down out of heaven. Acts 9 will tell it to you. And it threw him to the ground. And then there was a voice from heaven saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul replied, "Who is it, Lord?" And he goes on to say, "I am Jesus." The conversation goes on, and pretty soon Jesus says, "You go into the city of Damascus, and you go to the home of a man by the name of Ananias. He lives on Straight Street, and he will tell you the rest." So the blind man was brought to Ananias' home. And there Ananias, who was reluctant to deal with Paul because he knew what a character he really was when he came to the Christian faith, finally told him the whole story of Jesus, how Jesus had come into this world and that he had suffered and died for the sins of humanity. And that if Saul would simply confess his sins, put his faith in Christ, he could be forgiven. During that meeting, Saul gave his life to the Lord Jesus and was baptized. Now he was a child of God. He was then sent off a short time later to Arabia. And there for 3 years, he had an opportunity to learn the will of God for his life, to be a missionary to the Gentiles. He was a new man. The Christian people whom he had persecuted were now his brothers and sisters. And so one day he put it so very, very beautifully when he said, "If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come." And believe me, Paul knew what he was talking about. And so again, when he writes this letter to the Philippian church, it is so easy for him to say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But he understood well, and I continually repetitiously say it to you today, we must understand to live for Christ and live with Christ does not mean it's going to be an easy life. Not even in our day. Oh, I don't think we'll be stoned. I don't think in most places we'll be put into prison, at least not yet. But there are many things that can happen. In Saul's case, he knew that it meant that one day when he got to a particular town, they would stone him. When he got to his beloved place of Philippi, he would be put in prison. He would be put in stocks and bound there. He would be beaten. But Jesus Christ would be with him, and was with him, and delivered him. And the man who had kept him in prison, the jailer, was the man that Saul and Silas could turn around and bring the message of Christ and see the Holy Spirit convert that whole family, including the children.